That gospel, which as you recognize, was from yesterday, there's a gospel for today in the year that we have that one. But I'm not going to read the other one now, because I want to spend time talking about the first reading anyway, the book of Acts. Remember that it's not really the Acts of the Apostles, right? It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, this book. And if there's an example of that, it's certainly in the reading we just had today. Now, this is normal. This is the way the Lord would like to run the church. Moving people, enlightening them, you know, building them up. And it happens. Somebody told me the other day, he's running in his parish, he's part of a group, and they're leading discussions on this program, Why Be a Catholic, or something like that, which is very popular and very good. Anyhow, he was leading this. Now, here's just a regular guy, you know. He's leading this group of about 30, and there was one person in the group who was Protestant and learning why be a Catholic, you know. As he was teaching, this one fellow, he kept getting this conviction that he should go up to this other man and say, would you like me to be your sponsor if you want to join the RCIA? And he kept fighting this off. You know, I don't know this fellow. I mean, how forward to go up and, you know, he was very uncomfortable. But the Lord kept insisting. Well, he still didn't do anything. And the class was over. People were chatting. And he still didn't do anything. The man left and was going off to his car. And he couldn't take the pressure from the Lord anymore. So he ran after him and said, excuse me, this might sound a little strange, but would you like me to be your sponsor if you want to go through the RCIA? And the man said, that's very interesting. I was sitting in your class praying, and I said to the Lord, if you want me to become a Catholic, tell that man who's leading the group to come and ask to be my sponsor. Now, there's just two regular folks. But the Holy Spirit, you see? And so we have this text here, where Peter, this is chapter 11 of the book of Acts. The actual event happens two chapters earlier. One chapter, probably. But now Peter's giving a resume of it to explain to the brethren why he was doing things like eating with Gentiles. You see, in our world, you know, you got to think of Sharia. You know, you don't do these things. Now, he's gone and eaten with Gentiles, and he's a Jew. Their food isn't going to be blessed. You don't even know if it's kosher. You know, I mean, you don't know a lot. To go enter a house of a Gentile. And the part that we don't have here is when, it's right here. The apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. But they have problems with it. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers confronted him, saying, you entered the house of uncircumcised people and ate with them. That's absolutely contrary to all our customs. So Peter began to explain. And you just heard the explanation. I was up on the roof of my house there in Jaffa. And I had this vision three times. Up, Peter, slaughter and eat. Lord, I don't touch anything unclean. You know that. Three times. And three times the Lord said, what God calls clean, don't you call unclean. Interesting, when the Palestinian prayer group in Haifa was, the Jewish prayer group wanted to join them, and they were having problems with this. And three times, when they asked the Lord for a word, they got this text. So anyhow, Peter began and explained it to them step by step, and then you heard the whole story. I was at prayer, this happened to me, and the Spirit said to me, now, they're going to come for you. And so Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. So these six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. First, broken taboo. He related, this was a centurion, remember? This was an officer in the occupation forces. A good man, if you read the Peter's summarizing it. He was a man who helped the poor, he was a man who helped, you know, helped the Jewish poor and everybody, and he was a good man. He related to us how he had seen an angel. He wouldn't recognize the Holy Spirit. So an angel came, standing in his house, and saying, send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved. Now, we are just about to witness, an earth change. What the church at this point was Jewish. Maybe with an exception here, maybe that fellow Ken, the minister of the Queen of Ethiopia. The church is Jewish. It's the fulfillment of all that God promised the Jewish people. And if you want to be part of this blessing, you become Jewish. You become circumcised. Paul, remember, still was battling with this in his letter to the Galatians and in some ways in his letter to the Romans. But it's here with Peter, the leader of the apostolic group, that the question is resolved. Some did not accept that resolution, and Paul, as I say, is still battling with them. So he related how he had seen this angel and so forth. Now, then he goes to the house, and the centurion welcomes him and says, whatever you've got to say, say it, because this angel told me. Look at obedience. Look at this obedience. Here's a centurion, a pagan. He sees an angel. He says, that must be something from God. I better do that. And he does it. And so, as I began to speak, and if you look this up in chapter, you'll see he begins to speak about what happened and how Jesus, a man anointed by God, and so forth, went around healing and because God was with him, and then he died and he was raised again. And he got about that far, and the whole place exploded in tongues and praise and prophecy. Wow. And so, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord as he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is where the notion of calling the gift, the grace of today, baptism in the Spirit, this is where it comes from. Because look what happened to these people, has happened to thousands of people, independent of one another. When this renewal began at the beginning of the 20th century. The same thing. Then listen. If then God gave to them the same gift he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God? When they heard this, they stopped objecting and glorified God, saying, God has then granted them the gift of tongues. No, life-giving repentance. The sign of it is their joy, their prophecy, but the heart of it is life-giving repentance. When the renewal began, and we were praying over everybody, shooting right from the hip. And one day a bunch were praying over this young woman and nothing happened. And then they found out she didn't believe in God. They thought, maybe we should give some people a little bit of instruction before we do this. And that's how that little five-step book came into existence, you see. This work of the Holy Spirit, this explosion of life, of grace, of praise, of repentance. And from that moment on, the church has been church. God himself opened the church to the Gentiles. And they had to work like the dickens to figure this out. Well, can the Jews eat with Gentiles now and eat the food that they eat and all the rest? This began a whole... But you see who began it? The Holy Spirit. Now, with the Jews, a minority in the church, it's hard for us to get this. This was the fulfillment of all that God had ever promised Israel. And if you want to be part of it, then you join Israel. You become circumcised. You go through the mikvah. You go, no. You receive the Holy Spirit. You receive the gift of repentance. And you believe in Jesus. And you are a Christian. Because the very next thing that happens here is, in the narrative, Peter says, who can prevent these people from being baptized? They have received the same Spirit. And so you say, well, now if they receive the same Spirit, why do they have to be baptized? Because without baptism, you do not enter the body of Christ. That's why. Repentance and tongues and all that stuff, that's really great. But the sacrament, this washing in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, this act of Jesus Christ in and through this sacrament, then you're part of the body, then you're a Christian, then you're in the church. It's a great lesson, this text. Huh? The next turning point, and we'll probably get to it soon, is when the people from Macedonia say to Paul, come over and help us. And for the first time, the word of the Lord goes to Europe. But this is a turning point in the life of the church.